This message, because of the way that I had heard a lot of it from and what I've collected as well, I thought just really fit a brand new year because of always people making pledges about the changes I'm going to make to my life. Well, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. And one of the disciplines or the fruits that the Holy Spirit has living within us is self-control or self-discipline. It's probably one of the hardest things that I deal with in my life, obviously. And I pray that in some way, shape, or form, some of these areas that I touch on are areas that you probably need to work on as well. And one of the things that helps with self-discipline, it's kind of ironic, is the fact that it's really not self-discipline, it's Holy Spirit discipline. You know, he puts self-discipline in there, but it's not us that does it, it's the Holy Spirit, right? So I think our part in that is to hold each other accountable to a lot of those things. And again, I don't want to make this whole thing about accountability, 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 but it's about accountability. Because by ourselves, the devil will pick us off. And he just does. He knows to go after that lost sheep, right? That one sheep that goes astray. Because you need a shepherd. You need other brothers and sisters in Christ that are going to keep you accountable to the things of God, because it sharpens you. And God tells us it's all about the community. It's what it's going to be in heaven. It's not going to be lone rangers. It's going to be a community of believers. So I pray this ministers like it did to me, because I'm really reading it for the first time myself. Because when I wrote it, it kind of just, I pulled it all together from various places. So let's talk about self-control. Okay, or self-discipline. You can call it either one you want. I'll say self-control, since that's what the Holy Spirit says. It cannot be mastered on your own. So it can be confusing, as I said. We obviously need the Holy Spirit's help to become the person God created you to be. You were not created to make a kingdom on this earth for you. And with your plans to be going forward with everything that you desire to do. You were formed in your mother's womb. You were planned before the creation of this world and time. And God knew you would be here. And he has a plan for you to discover and walk out for your life. Most of the people in the world don't know that. Christians do. They come to realize that, wait a minute, I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price, right? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. I'm transformed. I now have to change. I have to move out of my carnal nature into my spiritual nature that God has given me. And now I have to adjust to not listen to the worldly side of things and carnal side of things. I got to adjust to listen to the spiritual side of things. And that's I don't know about the rest of you, but that's where the self-discipline comes in. I'm so used to doing things my old way that if I'm told to do something in a new way, it's tough for me to move in that direction. I don't want to move in that direction. I know I need to, but there's got to be some type of voice and some type of impetus and accountability to help me get there. Or it's just like a football player that's never coached. You know, he may be great at what he does, but he's out on the field, and if he doesn't know what all the other 10 players are doing, there's chaos, and then nobody ever wins. So self-control or Holy Spirit control is definitely something that you were created to be. So therefore, this, what I'm preaching today, isn't to rebuke you. It's to tell you this is part of who you are. It lives within you, and it needs to come out of you now. And the old self needs to back off. Okay? So here's the key to victory in this, and I could probably stop it here. Begin working out. I started this with the physical working out. You know, everybody makes pledges to get into shape this year, right? Physically. Well, you know what? It's of some value, that's what the Bible says, but what's of more value is your spiritual workouts, right? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean? Salvation is in you. You got to work it out with reverence and with the proper disciplines, because it does get you trembling a little bit when you think, I'm being asked to what? Preach? Teach? Come up here and minister? Do this? Do that? Yeah. But I'm not, my personality, I can't. Yeah, you can. Because it isn't your personality that's going to come up here and do what you're going to do. It's going to be the Holy Spirit through you as you yield. And so it's really working out. What do I call this place? A spiritual gym. You are in a spiritual gym. We're here to work out together, to grow, to get into God's word, to minister to one another, to prepare each other, to get unified in each other's homes and come in here so that we can go out those double doors and go out into the world and show them that Jesus is not boring. Jesus is not a killjoy. He knows how to laugh and have a good time. He knows how to get the Holy Spirit in you to be able to move and heal and deliver and raise the dead and do the things that he did, because he said, I did it, now I'm giving it to you. Go do likewise. Amen. So this is a gym. And self-discipline is one of the first things, even though it's almost last on the list. Love is first, because you got to have love to do it, right? Because if you get into self-discipline, you're nothing more than an army sergeant giving the people orders and they don't want any part of it. That's why he says love is first. But self-discipline is definitely a part of it, because if you don't have that and you got love but no discipline, then people look at you kind of as a flaky person, but that doesn't have any, well, you can tell me what to do, but you're not doing it. What do we call those? Hypocrites. They're full of love, but there's no works. There's no self-discipline. So we need it. We need to work out. Paul was instructing Timothy, right? He was discipling his young Timothy in the Christian growth process. This is how you grow, Timothy. And he wrote to him and said, train yourself to be godly. Well, if it was good enough for Timothy, how about us? I just don't become godly because the Holy Spirit comes to live in me. I have to train myself to become godly. I got the best instructor in the entire universe living inside of me to give me the best workout plan I could ever have. But you got to take the instruction and I took it, and go home and then have lunch and go do your thing. No. You got to work out. That means that you've listened to what the instructor said. Get up to the bar, bend down with your knees, pick it up like this, and I want you to lean back and say, one. And it doesn't stop there. Two. And you can keep counting as far as the spiritual aspect of it, because it doesn't stop till you meet Jesus. There's plenty of things you can work on in your life, and you know it. Do you have the time, and do you take the discipline to do it, though? That's what he tells Timothy. Train yourself to be God. It just doesn't happen. You got to train yourself. You got to get in here. You got to listen to messages. You got to maybe get your own. You got to begin to work out those gifts that you have in you. And you may need, that's why we need the accountability. Is some people, you know, I need to get into your home. I need to know what makes you run and happy, not happy, but enthused about ministry, so we can help you in whatever way we can to get you into that, to that growth process, so you fulfill God's plan for your life. That's what a pastor do. Take care of them sheep. Get those sheep in shape. You will not be eaten at the end. Okay, that's not the plan here. It's to fatten you up to get you eaten at the end. It's to get you raptured to be with Jesus so that he can say, well done, good and faithful servants. You know, we don't want to be the church of Laodicea, right? We want to be the one, which is the one going to, it was Philadelphia, they were good, right? I can't remember, I preached that a long time ago. A couple of the churches there, you know, he didn't have a whole lot to say about. They were walking the walk, and he was pleased. But for a majority of them, they had some things to do. And I can tell you right now, I got some things to do, so I know you guys probably have some things to do too. We need to train. Okay, the word train is the Greek word gymnazo. How about that? Greek word gymnazo, where we get our word gymnasium from. Paul was saying to Timothy, just like you go to the gymnasium to train yourself physically, get into the spiritual gymnasium and train yourself to be godly. That'll preach. Philippians 2:12 says this. Paul said, work out your own salvation. Everybody wonders, what does that mean? You know, we got to work out our salvation. He's given you by grace, you are saved through faith, right? Salvation you have, it's in you. What he's saying now, be squeezed. Why do you think trials and tribulations come? To squeeze you to see what's inside of you. Because when you're in a trial or tribulation, you'll know exactly what's inside of you. I failed a lot of those tests. I got to put my first hand up to say, when I've been squeezed and under trial and tribulation, the words aren't as godly as they usually are, and my actions are not as godly as I usually are, and I'm not in that self-discipline to say, whoa, all things work out together for good to them that love the Lord. Give thanks in all situations. See, when you're squeezed, you've got to have something in there, that in that spiritual, right, gymnasium to pull out to go, okay, God, you've got this. It's not pleasant. I don't like it. It hurts. I don't know why this is happening to me. Why, all compounded. Thank you, Lord. You know, yesterday we were diverted by plane into Knoxville, Tennessee, because it was they couldn't see to get into the airport in Asheville. And everybody's, oh, man, blah, blah. There, everybody's complaining because we couldn't land. And he said, I'm sorry, but we have to go to Knoxville. We don't know how long we'll be here. You may have to be here overnight, blah, 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 blah. But we'll wait here for a little while. And then our plane got back in, and he said, okay, we're going to make another couple turns around there. Man, we broke through that fog, broke through that darkness. I think the guy just said, the heck with it. We're taking a chance. And boom, he landed that plane. And boy, did the countenance of everybody change. They all stood up, and it was like the end of the, what was the game yesterday? Played Georgia. It was like the Georgia game. They finally won in the last couple of seconds, and everybody started, yeah! They were all going nuts, crazy. I mean, the pilot came out, and everybody was cheering him and everything. Everybody had forgotten what they had lost. The time they lost for New Year's, the time that they could, you know, now I got to take extra time by car and this and that and stuff like that. They were grateful that they were saved, that they were moved from where they could have been and they were placed where they should be, and they were literally delivered. And because we made it safely and we landed safely, if we had tried to land that first time through that fog, who knows what would have happened? We could have been dead. God knew, though. See, that's where trust has to come in. You gotta. All sometimes you can see, and I know you all know this, is the fog in front of your eyes. You don't know the next step to take. That's why we have to be in the Spirit and train and get self-discipline so that when we're in that way, we know that if there's a fog, Jesus is the lighthouse. Keep your eyes fixed on Him and you'll get through it. That beam will penetrate. It's like Rudolph the Red-Nosed. Oh, I shouldn't say that because there is no Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. But it's like Rudolph. Santa said, wait a minute, Christmas isn't canceled? That nose, that beautiful nose, that'll cut through any fog, whatever. I'm quoting that, so you know I've watched it a few times. But the fact of the matter is the light always dispels darkness. So when that fog is there and you're spiritually trained up like Timothy's getting from Paul, and you're prayed up, when negative things happen, when you're getting squeezed, good things are going to come out. So I'm just saying, I got a long way to go in this. And I know that probably all you do, so let's do this together. So when we're squeezed, you know, we're all squeezed together, you know, we'll have good fruit. You know, we'll have that self-discipline. Holy Spirit will be seen and the world will go, what? Because if you act just like the world in any panicked situation, there's no testimony to Jesus in that at all. But when you act opposite of the world in any type of squeezing or trial or tribulation, sickness, whatever, man, what a testimony. How can you have such a good attitude and be thankful? I mean, we just got diverted. This hour and 10-minute flight turned into 6 hours. How can I be thankful for that? Be thankful that maybe if you had landed in that first hour, you may not even be sitting here today. Trust God. Did I? I wanted to go home. So I wasn't as self-disciplined as I am after I probably read this. I'm going to go home and study it and do better next time. Because that's what it's all about, right? Forgiveness. Sometimes we don't get it on the first time, and that's okay. Jesus has given us so many do-overs. 70 times 7, right? Work out your salvation, folks. Work it out. That's where self-discipline comes in. In other words, Paul's saying, take what God has given you and then work it out. Develop it. Take it to the max. Take it to the next level. Discipline yourself. There's no other way it can happen. Nobody else is going to do it for you. You've got to be the one that does it. It's your relationship with Jesus Christ. Nobody else's. You're going to stand before God and nobody's going to be in front of you or behind you. Well, there may be a line, but anyway. They're not going to be covering you, in other words. You're going to be accountable for everything you say and do in your own life. So be accountable. Take it to the max. Take it to the next. Decide in your life, I've had it with this world. I know it's going to hell in a handbasket anyway. So let me jump on board with God's plans for my life and let me finally get going and get other people in my life to help me get going to where I need to be going and have the joy of the Lord be my strength for the remaining days I have and be an encouragement to people and ask what's the best part of their day, right, Aubrey? What was the best part of your day today? Every time I see that woman, what was the best part of your day today? And I could be just having the worst day and it forces me to say something nice. That's helping me with self-discipline. That's the Holy Spirit acting through her, attaching to my Holy Spirit, saying, because we have the same Holy Spirit, say something nice, because if you say something negative, It's not going to sound good when somebody asks you, what's the best part of your day? Nothing. That was also part of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer when he threw that thing up looking for gold. You taste it, nothing. That's what you're going to get without self-discipline. Nothing. Self-control. Holy Spirit. Without him, you're navigating through life in the fog. It leads you to nowhere except hell, right? You got to have the Holy Spirit in you, and you do. Now it's just a matter of letting him work out. Don't be satisfied to simply settle with what you begin with. Ooh, that was big for me when I wrote that one down. Do not be satisfied to simply settle for what you begin with. How many people are sitting back on, you know, in the pews or in the chairs? I'm saved. Hallelujah. I get to go to church on Sunday, go home, do my thing. Never bother to, you know, those spiritual gifts don't even exist anymore. I mean, come on. You know, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I don't really need to be that other oriented. I don't need to develop my inner spirit, man. I can just go into church is good. And I tithe and I go on mission trips and I feed the poor and I do all those things. And God's going, yeah, well, I could get anybody to kind of do those kinds of things. I want a love relationship with you that comes from your heart. That's what I'm after. That's why I sent my son. And then all those other things will occur because you love him so much. And then he'll tell you when you're heading over there to go give clothes to somebody, he says, stop, I want you to go over here to give a drink to this person. And that's the difference. You can be doing a good thing, but if it's not what God wants you to do, then, you know, for the last 22 years, you know, I've been preaching, and I hope I've been doing some good by doing something for somebody or maybe getting a message, stuff like that. It hasn't been a waste because God works all things together for good. But he called me to be a pastor. I may want to teach and do all those other things all the time because it's easier, and I like it. But he needs to take you to where he has placed within you the call in your life. And until you answer the first thing that he's told you to do, why would he move to the second? If there's something in your life that you haven't done yet that you know God's told you to do and you haven't done it yet, then don't sit there and wonder why some things are maybe not working out in your life. Don't be satisfied to simply settle with what you begin with, because that was Jesus' move anyway. You got it free. Multiply it. That's what he wants you to do with it. Move it forward. Get better. Some guys train for years to compete in a race that lasts 10 seconds. Think about the Olympics and stuff like that. Some guys train for years. The Navy SEALs. Look at the Navy SEALs, what they go through, if anybody's ever studied the Navy SEALs, of all the regimen that they've got to go through for maybe just one mission that could save the lives of so many people. An athlete that's trained for 22 years out of their life to go to the Olympics in a 10-second race. One shot at it. And we can't, with all of our lives and the time that we have, develop our spiritual muscle to do something that would honor God. We're training for eternal things, folks. Not for a race down here, but we're running the race to win and get that crown of glory from God that says, hey, you took what I gave you and you did well. That's what we're training for. So begin working out. Talk back to your body. Oh boy, this is big. Talk back to it. I'll tell you right now, your body's going to tell you, ain't no way I'm doing that. I'm in no kind of shape to tackle that. Are you kidding me? You want me to? Mm-mm. Not me. Get somebody else to do that. I could not possibly win. Well, I just heard a song that he had on there before. There's nothing that my God can't do. And when he wants to do something through you, you may be inarticulate and all of a sudden become articulate. You could be like Smith Wigglesworth, who stuttered all the time and stuttered and stuttered and stuttered, couldn't preach a word. And then all of a sudden, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit and understood the purpose of God in his life, and his wife said, you know what, I ain't doing it, you're doing it today. And he got up to that pulpit and, you know, boom. And we know what ministry he had. He might not have been the nicest guy in the world when he got up there to do some of the things he did, but he had faith, so much faith that he'd push somebody down on that ground and tell them, get them back up. Push somebody down and get them back up. And then all of a sudden, they'd jump up and they'd be healed. I hear stories like that and I think, man, today we'd be sued so far into the ground. He didn't care. And I'm sure he probably, for everybody that came up there, you know, he couldn't do things for people who couldn't join their faith with his. But boy, you know, I'm just using examples of working out. You know, you got to talk to your body. There are days when your body tells you it doesn't want to obey you anymore. You wake up and your body goes, I am too tired and sick to be thankful. I am too tired and sick to go do this. I am too tired and sick. I don't want to get out of bed. I'd rather watch the football game today. I'd rather take a day off. I've been going every Sunday for a while. I could take this thing out. You know, your body's going to tell you, I don't want to go over there and bake a cake for that person. I don't even like them. You have to talk to your body because your body is carnal. It's going, do you realize that it's not going with you? It's going back to the ground. It's going to fight you the whole way. And it's going to get old and it's going to, you know, have aches and pains. I mean, that's just part of, that's what happened when sin came into the world. We have victory over it because God's going to redeem us and take that spirit and soul and go, whew, but the body's going down there. So don't be surprised at the little fiery trial you go through, or sometimes even Paul left, Trophimus or what, not, wasn't Trophimus, somebody else in Miletus, he left them sick. He didn't heal everybody. Sometimes they got sick because that's what sin brings into the world. But we have victory over it. One way or another, we get the victory. Talk back to your body. Again, when your body tells you it doesn't want you to obey anymore, argue with your body. Seriously, do it. Argue with your body. Your body wants to sleep. Tell it to get up. Your body wants to eat. You tell it it's already eaten enough. Remember, now we're talking about self-discipline, right? It's funny, but it's not. Get up. You said you're going to get up at 5 o'clock and do devotions with me and meet me on the couch. Here I am, and where are you? Don't tell God something you're not ready to do. I've done that. It's not fun. Yeah, we could always eat. But if you've eaten enough, discipline yourself. Well, I've always wanted to lose that 10 or 20 pounds. Well, then lose it. There's nothing stopping you from doing that except self-discipline. Just being honest, don't throw things at me today. Remember, it's a brand new year. We're doing this together. We're going to get through it. I'm using it as an example. Some of you are okay with your weight. That's fine. I'm saying for people who want to lose weight and their body is going to go, no, you're not. You love this. And God's saying, I need you in a little bit better shape because I got things for you to do that are going to require you to have a little bit more perseverance and endurance. Just using it as an example. This is what the fight that you're going to face when you get this self-control, what the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through you. Your body wants to stop exercising. You tell it that it keeps me healthy and it's strong. It keeps me healthy and strong to exercise, so I'm going to do it some way, shape, or form, even if I'm just walking. Your body often resists the need to pray and read the Bible. You cannot let your body win that battle. I'd rather be watching TV. I've had enough Bible time today. I've had enough this, enough of that. Well, if God's telling you to do it, it ain't going to matter what you watch. It ain't going to make you happy or laugh. Maybe on the outside, but not on the inside. Don't you let your body tell you you don't need to pray, and don't you tell your body you don't need to read the Bible. Yes, you do. It's what's going to get us through in these times ahead. Your body wants to give up when the going gets tough, but you know you got to go on. There's no looking back. You just take and put one foot right in front of the other. A lot of times your body's going to tell you to do that. So talk back to your body and say, body, we're getting out of bed right now. We're going to pray and we're going to read the Bible. If you keep refusing, have a direct dial on somebody. Push the phone thing and say, I am so tired, I don't want to get out of bed. And tell that person to just yell over the phone, scream into your ear, do whatever they got to do. And if they love you enough, they'll ride over to your house and drag you out of your bed. I don't know what it's going to take. An alarm clock that goes off five, six times. I'm just using that as an example. But what I'm saying is that you have to put measures in place in order to have that discipline. Just like you go when you go into the army. You know, they give you certain orders and they make you do certain things to develop you so that when you're out in the field of battle, you're covered. You're safer than you would be if you just went out there haphazardly and tried to fire a gun you never learned. Or you didn't have the self-discipline. When the guy says down, you go down right away. You can look at an animal and see what self-discipline does. Tell that dog down, he's down. Tell a dog, go between my legs. He goes between your legs. He goes around and around and around. There's nothing better to see than a dog like that, than one that's out there pulling the owner. You want the devil pulling you around all day? Don't get up. Don't read your Bible. Don't do pray. Or do you want the Holy Spirit to say, get up. Read your Bible. Maybe not that rigid. Get a cup of coffee. Relax. Sit on my lap. Let me tell you how much I love you, and then, you know, you can read a little bit and study. You gotta perceive these things, because this is what the Holy Spirit's trying to do. I'm trying to paint a picture that the Holy Spirit's trying to paint with these giftings and these fruits of the Spirit that live in you. They want out. They weren't just meant for you to have. They were to be shared with the world. Paul said, I discipline my body and make it do the things that it needs to do so that I can be the person I need to be. That's what he said. And he says, when every time I fail, thanks be to Jesus Christ, he's the one who can get me to do it. He says, I do the very things that I hate, and I hate, you know, this is what I plan to do, and now I'm not doing what I'm doing. Oh God, who will save me from this wretched man that I am? And Jesus. What does that mean, saved? It means deliver you from that. That means that there's a discipline in you that I'm putting in you that I can help you get past the things that you can't do. You couldn't do them because you're doing them in your own strength. Folks, when you don't feel good spiritually, you won't feel good physically. And when you don't care for yourself physically, it affects you spiritually. Right? It's knowing you can, but deciding you won't, that stops you from success. It's knowing that you can do this, but you decide you won't, that stops you from success. So talk to your body and don't quit. I already talked to you about the Navy SEAL. Successful people practice a lot, right? Good athletes practice a lot. Spiritual athletes practice a lot. Study a lot. Love a lot. Whatever God tells you to do. A lot. Not just part-time, but full-time. But I work, Pastor, so then practice it at work. Self-control, patience, love, kindness. You can do that at work. You can be around a bunch of heathens and do that. It's where you get your best practice in. Easy to love somebody that loves you, right? A little bit harder to do it when somebody you don't like. Build the habits and character in yourself that God envisions you to experience. That God built you for. Build them. Like you would a house. Rome wasn't built, what did they say? Rome wasn't built in a day. God, give yourself some grace and mercy. God does. These things are going to take some time. I'm just throwing them out there here for the first of the year. Just one discipline of the Holy Spirit that He has living inside of you. Right? Someone said, self-discipline is doing what's right when you feel like doing what's wrong. Self-discipline is doing what's right when you feel like doing what's wrong. It's not eating all the popcorn before the movie starts. Right? It's the ability to maintain progress toward a goal even when you're not in the mood, when things are downright unpleasant and you'd rather be enjoying something else. That's when the rubber hits the road of what's when you're squeezed, what's going to come out. Self-discipline means to govern yourself. However, true self-control is a gift from God. Even though you're governing yourself, true self-control is a gift from God. He's going to help you to do it. But you have to have the mindset to do so. You have within you all you'll ever need. The problem is it's now your responsibility to do something with it. God's done His part. Now it's up to you. Every day we make choices about the direction of our lives. Every day you're making a choice with where you're going and the direction you go in. You choose. When what we want to do lines up with what we should do, everything's great. But a lot of the time we simply don't feel like doing what's best for us. And this is where self-discipline has to kick in. Your battle is with your old nature rising up against your new nature in Christ. We know that, right? You can read all of Romans and find that out. And Ephesians, as we're in. The old nature, it's just a battle that you face every day versus the new nature. New nature's in there. You just have to do it. It's called, in the Greek, it's a metamorphosis. It's changing from your old way of thinking to a new way of thinking. When you're saved, your spirit's automatically saved. Your soul has to be reprogrammed. Right, Aaron? Your spirit's automatically saved. You're going to go to heaven. Hallelujah, we got our ticket to heaven. But that all your memories from when you're born and in your mother's womb, from when you were a seed all the way to present, you've been filled with a whole lot of stuff. And a lot of it, some of it ain't good. And that has to get what? Replaced by real and Paul says, real, more and more real knowledge of the truth, because the truth is what sets you free from the bondage you're in from your old way of thinking. Old versus nature versus the new nature. Welcome to your battle. And most people will tell you the battle's right here. It's where it starts. Because he lives in your heart. It's your mind and your body that wants to live your old way. So your spirit has to take control. Hey, self-control, spiritual control from the Holy Spirit. That works. It's kind of like a civil war. That's within you. And the nature you feed, listen to me, the nature you feed will be the nature that will dominate you. I think my wife uses in the four-year health seminar, if you feed the wolf, guess who's going to take over? Right? It's the nature you, don't feed your carnal nature. It'll begin to dominate you. Feed your spiritual nature, and guess what? The process that God put in you to take place during your entire life will begin to unfold. If you want to start winning the battle within, you got to start thinking about your spiritual diet. You didn't think I was going to leave the diet out with the exercise, did you? Can't do one without the other. Both work to bring you into that spiritual fitness that brings us before God, where he can use you as like King David in his good days. He had a couple of rough times too, right? But he was forgiven because he had the heart of God. So starting with the right heart is important. Then we got to get it to the hands and feet. So again, start thinking about your spiritual diet, but you have to diligently seek places that offer good spiritual food for that new man of yours to be complete. So it's where you eat from that will determine how well and what kind of diet you're on that will determine your spiritual fitness. You can't just listen to every trickery or doctrine of demons that is out there. You have to have wisdom and discernment, which God, I believe, has given you, and know when it's truth and not truth. Just like when I'm preaching to you, you better be looking up after each week, and I'm preaching out of Ephesians now. You know, is what he's telling me biblical? Because even just that much of unbiblical stuff will get you off track. You got to watch that spiritual diet. It's like, well, I'm eating good, you know, most of the days of the week, but then, you know, I'm going to go splurge over here and do this. Well, that might work in the natural to some degree, but with God, no, it's like you need to be spiritual 100% of the time, full time. You can't just sin once a week and get away with it and think, okay, well, you can do that. No, we're supposed to be headed right straight for the course, just like Jesus. And he's provided a way for us to do that so that we fall down, we get back up and keep going. And keep moving. You have to diligently seek places that offer good spiritual food. Okay? Not every podcast is a good one. I hope that what I'm preaching is always good, but if it's not, you know, eat the meat and spit out the bones. We're not perfect. There's things that I've preached and I've learned. Oh my goodness, that wasn't right. But I'll always come back and tell you that I had it wrong. And I'm not ashamed to admit that I've had it wrong. Because I don't know everything. I don't know what God gives me to give you and stuff like that. And sometimes the enemy gets a little bone in there. And I got to repent over that bone and get it right. Because it's not about me being right. It's about being right under God. He's the one that gets the glory. And he's the one that gets the credit. You know, the old nature finds food everywhere. Listen to me. We got to find good spiritual food. The old nature will find food everywhere. You just think that because he's a pastor, he's got it right. You think it's because it's a church that everybody in there saved. You think that it's because, right? Just because they're labeled church, pastor, apostle, teacher. You need to listen, you need to discern, and you need to weed out. Because there's a lot of false teachers and a lot of false prophets and a lot of false churches that are out there because the Bible tells me that there are. So be careful who you get under the teaching of. Be careful who you are co-laboring with. It does matter. Hence why you don't see maybe billions of people in here. Because when that happens and I confront them, which eventually is my responsibility as the shepherd now, I realize, to protect you, when they refuse to change from their evil ways, they're not welcome. Paul says excommunicate them, pray for them. They're always welcome back if they repent, but don't keep them among your children to let them deviate into that. You know, you don't ask a transgender person to come read a Bible story to your kid. You say, sorry, but there's the door. I got a book of policies and procedures out there. We're not a 501c3. We're not responsibility to the government for that kind of stuff. We're a personal organization called the Church of Jesus Christ. He's my head, and he says, that's not allowed in here. Oh, but they're a huge tither, or that'll just take a lot of other people out with them and stuff like that. All right, so when Jesus heard that, he said to his 12 disciples, you want to leave too? When he got down to the real meat of the teaching and they all left, he said to his disciples, hey, this is the way, the truth, and the life. You want to follow it? Stay. Otherwise, you can leave too. That's a tough word. Tougher on me because I have nothing to eat or drink. You know, I got no living. I trust in the ravens then. The ravens will bring me food. Thank you, Elijah, for giving me that example. Folks, we have to realize that not every food is food. It's out there everywhere, but you got to be selective. It's out there to wear you down and destroy you. There's a worldly buffet out there to entice you and fewer rules and constraints to hold you back. I should have got an amen on that. We have fewer rules and constraints, not just for food, but in the church and in life. It's just, you know, it's this hyper-grace thing that you can do anything because you're saved. You can live like the devil because you're saved. You can go fornicate and do all that stuff. You're covered. You're going. Don't worry about it. Oh, my gosh. Sin is sin is sin, Old Testament, New Testament, or whatever. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that covers us. He's called us to repent. What if you don't repent and you live like the devil just because you said I do at the altar doesn't keep you married? There's divorces everywhere because people can't get along. Well, God's going, I can't cohabitate with evil. Thank God for forgiveness and repentance, which restores us unto God. But if you live an unforgiving, unrepentant life and live like the world just because you said two words, I do, doesn't that's faith without works. It's dead. The faith no longer saves you. That was good, that right there, because that was new to me. Faith is what, because everybody always goes back to, well, it's faith that saves you, right? But faith without works is. So the self-discipline and obedience, Jesus says, if you love me, it matters. It's not just once saved, always saved. I do. Okay, now I can go live like the devil and do everything I did. I got my ticket. I punched it. Now I'm going. So I can do anything I want. You know, if I'm wrong, oh, well, we're all going. But if I'm right, God, we're saving a lot of people from going to hell. Jesus said the road's narrow, and there are a few who find it. That means that there's got to be some constraints. There's got to be some laws. Look at what the United States is. We're losing our laws and our constraints, and look what's happening. God is a lawful God, or he wouldn't have given the law. Thank God it doesn't save us. But it's certainly good for us to live by. It's healthy for us to live by it. Because Jesus even said, oh, still good. The law's still good. It's just that I came to fulfill it for you because you can't do it. Put things in proper perspective, folks. I'm getting there. I'm done. It's 20. We said sometimes the services, you know, it's a brand new year. First service is going over. Hallelujah. And because I'm preaching on food, you're probably all going, dang, I was going to leave at 12 o'clock and go out those double doors. But he hit that food and diet thing, and now I got to stay to the end of the sermon. Don't worry, you'll get there. They'll still be open. I don't even know if there's anybody open today on the first. Thank you. I think I will. All right, let me wrap it up. Fewer rules, fewer constraints to hold you back. So we need to hunger and thirst for God. If you want to get hungry today and you want to get thirsty today, get it for God. God's honored when we, his children, refuse to be complacent about where we are. He is honored. God is honored when we refuse to stay where we are at and complacent where we are. So until, listen to me now, this is the last major point. Until the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change, nothing happens. Until the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change, nothing happens. Good intentions are never enough. Well, I plan on one day. God will give me the strength to do it one day. God's already given you everything you need to change the way you need to be. It's your self-control, self-constraint, whatever it is that's keeping you from it. So quit lying to yourself and making excuses and just trying to use scripture and cherry pick and see what works for you. I'm sorry, but, you know, until the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change, nothing happens. And it's not your good intentions. You must do it, not just think about it. Don't say, someday I'm going to get involved with this, or someday I'm going to get involved with this ministry, because someday rarely comes. The longer you delay, the longer and the further chances are that you're probably going to just come up with some other excuse to do something different. If God speaks to you and says, go ahead and do it, then you just get into a position of listening and waiting for the next step, no matter how long it takes. Now, you know, do what you got to do in the meantime until you get there, but you better give God the time of day so that you can hear what's going on about it. Folks, it's time to develop our spiritual muscles and win the daily battles for our faith and our well-being. Happy New Year, guys. And may you decide right now, January 1st, to exercise self-discipline and be the spiritual sons and daughters God designed you to be. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you live within us and there is nothing that's impossible with you. You've given us the responsibility to be other-oriented and to share the gospel, to go into all the world, into Judea, into Jerusalem, into the uttermost parts of the world. You told your disciples, it's not just in our four corners here, but it's out there that the people need us. We exercise here and we go out and we apply it out there. So Lord, right now, as we pray for those 10 or 20 people that we have in our hearts where you're just going to set them up, you're going to set them up so big that people are going to come into their lives, whether it's us or somebody else that's going to just push them over the edge where the Holy Spirit gets a hold of them and they come and they break through those double doors of the church and they repent and they become disciples of Jesus Christ. That's what we're praying for. So as we end the service today, there's no better way to end it than to be on our knees. So why don't you all come forward, get on your knees, let's pray for our 10, and then Dan will dismiss us when we're done.